on maynard.com.au. Hey, you!
Well, welcome to a very different Maynard's Malaise this time. Let me tell you, it's Maynard here, and I'm currently at Skeptics in the Pub. This weekend, a whole bunch of skeptics from all around the world are converging on Sydney, Australia, to goof off, carry on, wear glasses.
I'm Kim.
That's Kim. She's part of the worldwide Big Pharma conspiracy, obviously, based on the way you're being a bit careful about saying who you are.
Can I ask what your name is?
My name is Maynard. This is for Maynard's Malaise. And I was just in the middle of doing an introduction.
You look very familiar.
Do I owe you money?
Yes, you do.
Look, Kim, look, when you think of skeptics, you don't think of music, do you, normally?
I don't.
I thought I'd ask a few skeptics at TAM Australia and here at Skeptics Club what is their favourite song and maybe play it, or what they think is the most interesting song. So let's start with you, Kim. What do you think is a song that you reckon is a great song?
I've been listening on replay, like constant replay, Protection by Everything But The Girl.
Now, why that song? Of all the stuff they've done, their early stuff, like Baby the Stars Shine Bright, that's a great album. Missing was their big hit. They've been remixed by Todd Terry. But why Protection?
A lot of their stuff's really chilled out, but I think that's especially chilled out. Yeah.
So when would you listen to that track?
Well, I listened to it last night.
Wow, over and over again.
Yeah.
So some of this stuff can be a bit depressing. You haven't just broken up with someone have you?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
Well, I don't think it relates to skepticism very much.
Okay, right. So let's enjoy it now.
Yeah.
It's noisy here, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I don't know anyone here, so I'm going to have to mingle,
It won't take long. Brian Dunning from Skeptoids over there. Stay away from him. He's getting free drinks off people again.
Some shelter, but you don't believe anyone can help her. She's doing so much harm, doing so much damage, but you don't want to get involved. You tell her she can't manage, and you can't change the way she feels, but you could put your arms around.
Standing in front of you,
We're here at Skeptics in the pub at the City Hotel in the middle of Sydney. And anyone who's listened to Maynard's Malaise podcast knows that from time to time, people come up to me and bring really obscure moments from my career to mind that I've completely forgotten. And we've got someone who's about to do that. You just blew my mind away here. What's your name, sir?
My name is Jeff.
Jeff, I think I'll let you tell a story.
I cast my mind back to the early months of 1990, and I was entertaining a young lady in the wee small hours. And there was something on the television that was creating an atmosphere that was conducive to intimacy. And it was Maynard hosting Rage.
I hosted Rage twice. I did it live on the 87-88 New Year's Eve from the Rat Party in Sydney. And in the early 90s, I did it. And I've got to say, I was playing Weird Al Yankovic, Devo, and I played Ringo Starr's Stop and Smell the Roses, yep, which I think has never been played on Rage since. How did you seduce the lady using my weird music?
I think it was just the whole atmosphere that you were able to weave through your magic.
And also on that episode, and they put it late because they didn't want too many people to see it, I was actually sniffing exit mould in my shower.
Yes.
While I was doing it.
Yes, that's right. And I remember another occasion where you grabbed your nipples. And interestingly, I think at that very point... Oh, sorry, I shouldn't actually go into that kind of detail.
I see. So you were able to seduce a girl while watching a selection of Weird Al Yankovic and Ringo Starr film clips.
Yeah, with a Maynard nipple pinch.
I think just to underline how incredibly unlikely that is, we should play Ringo Starr singing Stop and Smell the Roses. So you owe me a drink.
We're there.
Stop and take the time to smell the roses. I said stop and take the time to fill your noses. Stop as you stroll through life. Pitter-patter, pitter-patter. Stop and take the time to talk it over with your wife. I said stop and take the time to read the label. You must remember Clark and Betty Grable. Stop! There's no train to catch. No, there isn't, Ralph. No, no, no. Come on, everybody, you've got to stop. Stop on the highway. Stop when you're in your car on that highway. Time to stop that smoking. Stop. There's no train to catch. You won't be blue. You. Walking down the street the other day, you know, and I said to myself, what's all this hurry? What's all this hustle and bustle? Why don't I just stop? Look at the pretty roses, smell them for one moment. Take the time to see, take the time to smell. Have a good time in life, don't let everything pass you by. You're only here once, and I've been here longer than most of you. So stop, and take the time to buy this album, so I can plant roses and smell them all day long. Everything you're doing, run to your local record shop and say, give me that record. Call, stop. I'm going crazy with this record business. I want to stop it. You want me to stop it. Everybody wants it to stop. Well, I'm leaving you now, because I've just got to stop.
Wow.
What's a track you'd like to hear played now?
Blue Danube.
Blue Danube? What, yeah. Strauss Waltz?
Yeah, just, you know, 2001.
Okay, that's kind of cool. But, yeah. Like, have you watched that movie recently?
Oh, yeah, a couple of years ago, yeah.
Yeah, the pacing by today's standards, it's fairly sleepy.
It always had a weird atmosphere. You know, it was always a bit, you know, the silence in space. I always loved that. You know, space is silent. When planets turn, there's not a low rumbling, you know, it's just all quiet.
But the thing with 2001 is that it's a bit like Gerry Anderson. Like, he wants to show everything. So she's walking along the entire cabin. Oh, he's turning the key. Yeah. And, you know, by today's standard, everyone's going, come on, ADD, my Ritalin's kicking in, you know?
Because what is it, 40 years old now, that movie?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, it's unreal. If you look at the other stuff that was around then, it was incredible, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Strauss Waltz, that's a cool one. That's very geeky, too.
Well, I remember actually back in the day you played O Fortuna on the on the radio, and I thought you were a hero for it. I loved that.
Apotheosis.
So much.
I played it out of the 3 o'clock news the first time in the afternoon. Yeah. I scared the hell out of everyone. You knew the Triple J audience was changing because I got a phone call from some woman going, why don't you play something nice like Crowded House? That track got pulled because the estate of Carl Orff complained that they weren't getting the royalties from it.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah, well, I rang them back and I said, yeah, well, okay, we won't give them the royalties if we don't mention the war. But that is a pretty wild track. And so you wouldn't have been going to a couple of Horton Pavilions and...
Oh, yes, definitely. Well, both of us were. Yeah. We were both right into it. Both right in.
Arms in here when the bass drops.
And look, and like this track would just go off. At that time, you'd never heard anything like it.
Yeah.
It goes nuts, that track.
It does.
In fact, look, I'm just going to go take some E now before I play it. Because, I mean, really, because if you don't, it just sounds like a car alarm.
Yeah, exactly.
Tism's 10-second documentaries. Number 7, Maynard F. Sharp Krebs making love. Next week, Warwick Capper and his new autobiography, I'm Not a Homosexual, but I Slept with a Guy Who Was One.
Push button. I was the guy in Tism. No, really. I was the guy in Tism. No, really. I wrote the bits you like, but not the bits you hate. I wrote the bits you like, but not the bits you hate. I was the guy in Tism.
Push button.
I was the guy in Tism. There, I said it. I was the guy in Tism.
Push button.
I was the guy in Tism. Does that mean I'll be recognised, lionised, iconised, canonised? Does that mean the barmaid at that place in Flinders Lane won't look at me like I'm there to collect my daughter? Does that mean I won't be sneered at in groovy record stores? Does that mean people will forgive me for being a self-centred bore? Does that mean my hitherto plain features will become strangely compelling? Does that mean I'll get an invite to the Hall of Fame dinner? So I can disgust some ex-idol winner by seeing how many of those thumbnail-sized toothpick burgers I can fit in my mouth at once? And later on at the after party, get really drunk and make an ass of myself in front of the cameras by unzipping my fly and saying, "Here's something for Kate." I was the guy in Tism.
Push button.
I was the guy in Tism. Does that mean Ruby Rose will ink my name on her beautiful skin? And then one day, when it's stretched beyond recognition, it'll look like it spells Dorian Gray? Does that mean I'll get reviewed on Pitchfork? And they won't pick on me? Because, you know, like, they're pretty harsh on Pitchfork. I mean, especially if you use generic synth patches. Obviously, there is no way I am using generic synth patches. I'm using a cheap synth with out-of-date rave sounds because, you know, I choose to. I'd like to apologise to everyone who I should apologise to. Whatever it was I said, I never meant it. And to everyone who really liked what I said, I meant it. Meant to be about me. I was the guy in Tism. I was the guy in Tism. You've never heard of Tism.
What's something you groove to?
I play lots of Piazzolla at the moment. High rotation in my car.
Wow, why is that?
I don't know. I love Piazzolla. It's really passionate music, and it's like a mushes together so many different cultures and different genres of music and taken aspects of it. And that's
well. Is there one track you can point us to?
I suppose the well-known one is Lieber Tango.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are at TAM Australia, and Dr. Carl is just over there in a great shirt, just doing an interview with some people who asked him much better questions I'm about to. And he's running around, which is usually the way most interviews start with me. The people start as far away as from possible, and eventually they get closer to me like he has now. Dr. Carl, I know you haven't got much time. You've got to race off.
Ah, good morning, Dr. Maynard. I'm just going to reach across and get this glass of water because I've been talking, and the audience will probably hear you say, if I don't have this glass of water, gee, Dr. Carl can probably talk well, but gee, he's got bad breath because I've been talking for an hour and my mouth has dried out, so I'm now going to have the water.
What was it like addressing a group of sceptics?
In the trade, we call it a telephone book audience. You'd sit there and you could read the people's names and phone numbers out of the phone book. Brown, Arthur. Brown, Alan. Oh, I'd hear that. And the audience would go, wow, he read two Browns. Oh, my God, he's fantastic.
As long as you did it on every third or fifth thing. If you did it on the fourth thing, they wouldn't realise it was a joke and they would laugh.
That's right. So they were a great audience, really sympathetic, hard to go wrong with them. I loved them to pieces and they loved me and I love them.
Look, we go back away. When I was doing Breakfast on Triple J, that was even after you'd started Great Moments in Science. And we will play Thomas Dolby's She Blinded Me with Science in a moment because it's a great track.
Yeah. And, in fact, I think we go back to when it was Double J or even a single, it was probably just a single J by then.
No, actually it was Triple J in 1980. I didn't join till the mid-80s.
Well, time advances at 1 second per second.
Well, I think back then they were actually writing it on stone tablets and posting it out to people.
That's right.
Which is really expensive.
Well, with the stone tablets, what you had to do was get a thorn, put it in your mouth, and then run it around on the stone tablet, and you'd pick up the sound with a thorn in your mouth. That's how they did radio in the old days.
With science, fell in love. exile.
Quando, quando, quando by Engelbert Humperdinck.
Oh, now, you are talking my language, but are we going to play the original version or the remix that he did for his album in the late 90s, which has got a bit of an acid tinge to it?
No, the original. Definitely the original. If you can get the flared pants, just like the film clip, then it's heaven.
Well, through the magic of radio, here's a little bit of what the remix sounded like.
Tell me, when will you be mine? Tell me, quando, quando, quando. We can share.
We'll have none of that, will we?
No.
We want the original Quando. That's my favourite song of his.
Really?
Yeah.
Quando? Well, he does a really good Quando. It appeared in that car ad, which really invigorated it. I missed him in Brisbane this year, but...
Nothing moves units like having Humperdinck on your ad.
Humperdinck rocks.
You know, people hear the Engelbert and they go, must buy.
Yeah, that's right. You can just see the underpants flying towards the car.
Well, let's enjoy a bit of Quando, Quando, Quando right now, which is great because that means you're bilingual.
Yeah, well, I suppose it does.
Tell me, when will you be mine? Tell me, quando, quando, quando. We can share a love divine. Please don't make me wait again. When will you say yes to me? Tell me, quando, quando, quando. You mean happiness to me. Oh, my love, please tell me when. Every moment's a day. Every day seems a lifetime. Let me show you the way to a joy beyond compare. I can wait a moment more. And then, darling, tell me when.
joy beyond compare.
Two wires together, and then will you try talking into it?
On maynard.com.au.
Hey, you!